There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. Thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon with Carmen and me. Happy March Madness, everybody. This is like one of the best times of the year. The vibes are high. People are out and about. Carmen, you put in a full day of madness at the office yesterday. When I say office, I mean our favorite bar in town.
The bar.
The bar. Two meals.
Two meal day at the same place.
That is like my jealousy level was at an all-time high as I'm sitting at my computer yesterday doing work. Like all I want to do is be with Carmen at the bar. But yeah. That's okay.
It's okay.
That's okay. We were both doing great day one, too, by the way. Like, okay, so everyone here at Fox Sports Radio is in the madness
yeah.
The bracket.
Carmen challenge.
Carmen was tied for first after
at the end of
day
yesterday.
One.
Yeah.
I was tied for second.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And now things
today,
have gone
today, not bad. I'm still tied for second, and I think you are tied for third.
And it, honestly, it was my own petty little heart not being able to pick Arizona. I just couldn't do it. I knew that they were going to get out of the first round. Of course I knew that, but I just couldn't bring myself to let them have any joy.
I get it, though, because a lot of the picks I do, because come on, you guys, no matter how great some of these teams are, upsets happen, right? Yeah. And like anything can happen. You cannot predict the future. So I do a lot of heart picks.
Oh, yeah.
And Richard Jefferson is like one of my dear friends, played at Arizona. Right. The gym's called Richard Jefferson Gym over there. Yep, so like for the homie.
Sure.
I picked Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Like when I don't, like especially when you have like, way. You have the seeding that's like, you know, it's like the fourth and the fifth seed against each other, whatever it is. I'm like, I don't
who
know.
Who do you have in your top four?
Okay.
Can we just go for this?
My final four.
I already have one that's. I got Kentucky. Like, so that was bad.
I mean, that's not like, so I have Wisconsin in my final four.
Okay. So we both had a.
Not great.
Yeah.
But then I also have Illinois.
Okay.
And I have Kansas.
Okay.
And North Carolina. That's
all right.
My final four.
Well, my heart also picked SDSU because I went to San Diego State. You guys rocking the SDSU sweatshirt today. And they were in the finals last year. So feeling strong about this. Arizona, Kentucky, obviously out. Purdue. That's also for a homie who's just like obsessed. One of our producers, good friends, Nick Rago. This is like ride or die.
Ride or die
for Purdue. So yep. I'm pushing for him.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Honestly,
right?
There was a 10-minute span of just absolute electricity at the bar last night because Auburn Yale was going on at the same time that what was the other game that was even going on at that point? There were two games that were going on simultaneously that everybody was like losing it over.
I love that.
Oh, it was the Bama game. It was
And this is why you watch Madness with a crew of people in a crowded area who were all into the game at the same time because it just lifts everything.
No, Florida. That was the game. Okay. That was the game that everybody was going. So there was Florida fans in front of us. Everybody at the bar just became Yale fans because I think everybody wanted to see Auburn just go down and like, I don't know, underdog, the Bulldogs, rooting for those guys.
I love that.
absolutely electric. The whole bar was going nuts.
Right now, we have Caitlin Clark. You know everybody's watching this game right now. Absolutely crushing Iowa's up 47-29 over Holy Cross. Women are in full force today. Obviously, we got the Gonzaga and Kansas going on right now. That's a close one. Kansas up 26-24 at the moment. It's going to be great, you guys. We are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
And just like in basketball, a successful game plan starts with the right players. The team at Tractor Supply brings hustle and heart, and that's what really sets them apart. Hey, that rhymed.
Hey.
So lace up your sneakers and make the winning play by heading to your local Tractor Supply store. Today, did you see that meme actually about,
what?
I just saw it this morning. I think my boyfriend sent it to me about like, love something as much as a white girl loves to say, hey, that rhymes. And I'm like, oh my God,
I rhyme everything. So like, yeah, that's pretty.
I get so excited when things rhyme. You're like, hey, that rhymes. And
hey,
I literally, I just did it in the read. We love it.
Yep,
we are
basic bees today. And that's okay.
I lean into my basicness. It's fine.
Oh, same. We have an epic show for you guys today. We're going to keep you updated on all of the March Madness games men's and women's, as we said. Yeah. I was about to end right now. Caitlin Clark in Iowa, 48-30 right now, 41 seconds left in that game. We have Mike Golic Jr. joining us
in
30 minutes, who also put in time at the office yesterday.
He did. We were together.
Watching all the madness. You guys, when I say the office and sports, it's usually at the bar. Watching the games. Okay, let's be honest here.
That's part of work. We're talking about it today. This was research.
That is work.
This was research. Mike and I were doing research together. It was great.
Part of the job. Okay, we also have former U.S. Women's National Team superstar and founder of Bay Football Club, Leslie Osborne, joining us in hour two.
Amazing.
Rock star. We have producer Patrick with us today, technical producer Christopher Fett and Brian Fenley at the news desk.
Hey, guys.
But you guys, madness. We're diving into the madness because, as we said, best time of the year.
Best time.
We have it all. You have Cinderella stories, which means like dreams come true and dreams get destroyed within the same game, which is always like an emotional roller coaster for me because I love the underdog. But then it's like you see everyone that you think is going to win. It's just like bracket crushers. Day one. Mm-hmm. Big one. Oakland taking down Kentucky. Yale beating Auburn. James Madison taking down Wisconsin,
which really screwed me over.
Kentucky got me. And I want to take a moment to talk about Kentucky here, right? Because they're thought to be one of the powerhouse programs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was Kentucky's second opening round loss in 3 years. Kentucky only has one win in the tournament since 2019. Like, let that sink in for a second. Because John Calipari, head coach of Kentucky, has been there since 2009, only has one NCAA championship win. That was in 2012, so it's been a minute. They are a big one-and-done school. Okay? Now, they have had some all-star one-and-done players. Let me just remind you. Anthony Davis. He was on that team that won the NCAA championship. Devin Booker. Karl Anthony Towns. DeMarcus Cousins. Julius Randle. Jamal Murray, John Wall. Like, there are so many guys.
Oh, yeah.
Top NBA stars.
Right.
That did their one and done through John Calipari. But you cannot deny his recruiting skills.
Oh, yeah. He can evaluate talent and recognize talent and then bring them into Kentucky with the help of the Kentucky brand, which he helped build.
Yes. But I think you need to start taking some accountability.
Sure.
Right? He talked after the game in his post-game presser. This is what he had to say.
I've done this with young teams my whole career, and it's going to be hard for me to change that because we've helped so many young people and their families that I don't see myself just saying, okay, we're not going to recruit freshmen, and I'll look at other ways that we can do stuff. This thing here, it's a different animal. We've been able to help so many kids and win so many games and Final Fours, national titles and all this stuff, win league championships with young guys. It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25. So do I change because of that? Maybe add a couple older guys to supplement.
You think? You have one win in this tournament since 2019.
Right. Something needs to change.
How long do you continue doing the same thing without success?
And expecting different results? The definition of insanity?
It does not happen.
No.
It does not happen. Now, I believe not just Kentucky, but the one and done is really hurting men's college basketball right now. No stars. We haven't kind of seen that once in a generation player since the Chet and the Zion. It's harder for these young guys. Who knows if COVID played a big part in that?
I was going to say.
Like, I feel like that we're kind of still in that window.
Right. Like when you're talking like 24 and 25 year olds, 24 and 25 year olds aren't usually in college.
No.
So that I think will drop off a little bit. But you need to separate, okay, especially when you look at a program like Kentucky and a guy like John Calipari, who's one of the most respected coaches in the NCAA.
Yeah.
What is it that's not working? Is it team specific because of Kentucky being this one and done powerhouse? Or is it more that the system itself is flawed? And do you need to adjust to the system, or does the system need to adjust back to what it used to be? And here's the thing. I'm a firm believer, and I've had this discussion over the last couple of days a lot, of the NCAA basketball needs to adopt baseball rules.
Okay.
Where you have the opportunity to go straight to the league from high school if you are that highly touted of a player, if you're that already. I mean,
okay, so bring it back to like the LeBron and Kobe days, where
LeBron
they went
and Kobe days,
straight out of high school.
And it only makes
sense.
05?
Was that the last time it happened?
I don't want to. When did LeBron come in the league?
Yeah.
Here's the thing is AAU, the developmental leagues as youth players, has gotten more and more businesslike as we're going. So these kids, yes, they're 17 and 18 years old, but they are ready to go to the league because that is where their talent is. That's their talent level already.
Yeah.
And what does 1 year in college really do for them? It's
Nothing.
Not giving them an education. So let's stop pretending like that's a thing. And it's making it so the turnover is hurting the teams themselves. And what Calipari's talking about here, too, being like, we're going up against older teams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you make this rule where you have to stay in college for 3 years or you can jump straight to the league, that weeds out the really, really good players that can start making money right away.
Yeah.
And then it levels the playing field across the board when you have players that have to stay in school for 3 years, not to mention it does give them the education.
Well,
and now
and with NIL, they can actually make money now.
That's where I was going to go next is not only that, but they can develop their own brands while they're in college because of NIL. And now it's like there's the colleges themselves, the universities themselves are kind of the brand that all of these guys are under.
Yeah.
If you keep these guys in college for a little bit longer, now they can develop their own brands and make their own money that way. And they're still professionals in a way.
Yep.
While also getting an education, which I think is the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
I don't see what's wrong with splitting that system up and going back to what we used to do, especially now that the developmental leagues, like I said, AAU, is basically a business in and of itself. It's what college basketball used to be.
Yeah. Can I say, though, with this whole one and done in the men's side of college basketball, it has been all about the women's basketball.
They have the star
season.
Power.
They have everybody. Every single person I talked to filling out their brackets this year, the main conversation and comment was, the only basketball players I know are Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Juju Watkins. It was all female basketball players. They are changing the landscape for college basketball right now. They are selling out arenas. They are creating stars. I mean, Caitlin Clark is the moment. We've been talking about this since she broke the all-time NCAA D1 scoring record for men and women. She is the reason they sold out all of Iowa's home games, sold out the Big Ten tournament, first time in history. She is must-watch TV, and she is the biggest star right now during March Madness.
And this is, and going back to what we were just talking about with the men's game and how it's one and done, then you go over and you look at the women's game, and this is the blueprint.
Yep.
This is what happens when you have players that stay in school, that build their own brands.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we are talking about Iowa women's basketball,
Caitlin
Iowa
Clark.
Basketball at all, for that matter, is because of Caitlin Clark.
Yes.
You talked about it, how she sold out season tickets for Iowa women's basketball. You're doing all of these crazy things that are then upping the brand of the university overall and the visibility of the women's game. This is what could happen on the men's side again if you do this differentiation of, okay, the guys that are already ready, go straight to the league.
There's no point in staying 1 year.
1 year, whatever. And then if you stay for 3 years, then you can build up what we've seen in the women's game. And the consistency, you don't deal with the turnover. Coaches, I have to imagine that's easier on coaches when you know, I mean, there's roster turnover every year because it's college and that's the nature of it. People cycle in and out, you know, per class. But it's at least a little bit more standardized and regulated, and the playing field is a little bit more level when you do stuff like this. So I really appreciate that you have a blueprint, and it's the women's game that's the blueprint. They have it right.
I know.
They have it right.
I'm so excited. And everybody is talking about it. I mean, Tim McGraw was wearing a Caitlin Clark jersey at his show in Iowa. Travis Scott, was in the house front row watching Caitlin Clark. Snoop Dogg was rapping about Juju Watkins at USC. Piles was saying, get the men's bracket off my TV. All I want to see are the women. That's where the stars are. Cardi B was rapping about LSU. Lil Wayne was cheering on Bayou Barbie, Angel Reese. Like, it is just... They are the moment. The women are the moment. Everyone watches women's sports, you guys.
Everyone watches women's sports. We both need to get that those sweatshirt t-shirts.
Oh, I ordered it.
Oh, did you?
I ordered it.
Oh, I need to. Okay, all right. I might do it right now, like at our next commercial
break. Let's do it right now. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, you guys, the Steelers have a completely new quarterback room. Who's going to be the starter, though? You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from a Tower.com studios in Los Angeles. Happy March Madness, everybody. This is like what, smooth jazz, cool jazz? Is that what we're feeling right now? Is that what's going on?
I like to throw it in sometimes.
Okay. I was like, vibes. I'm into it.
I think this got sampled on, what was it, Reminisce?
Okay.
So.
Okay. I'm into it. It's good. It's good halftime vibes, you guys. Right now, it's halftime. Kansas up 44-43 on Gonzaga. And then Iowa up at halftime 48-30 over Holy Cross. So we've got some good games going on right now. We'll keep you updated throughout the entire show. But right now, you guys, we got to talk some NFL because the Steelers, 30 minutes after we got off the air last week, the news broke that the Steelers traded for Justin Fields. This was the exact move that we said could and should happen. But I think the cool part that kind of came out after all of this was learning that the Bears did Fields right, because apparently they got other offers, but Justin Fields wanted to go to Pittsburgh, and that's where they sent him.
Yeah, that was the reports that came. That was the reports that came out was that there were at least, I think Ian Rappaport said there were at least four other teams that were interested in Justin Fields. I am in the camp, though, that the difference in the offers was probably not a lot.
Okay.
It was pretty negligible, and so it was kind of like, all right, we'll send you to a place where, in Pittsburgh, the door is open for Justin Fields to win, to perhaps become the starter, whether that's this year or next.
So let's break down that situation in Pittsburgh, because right now they have two starting quarterbacks. Okay. Now, it's been reported that Mike Tomlin said that Russ is a starter. Steelers are only paying Russ
vet minimum.
$1.2 million.
Yeah.
Like, that's
1 year contract.
They don't have a lot of skin in the game. Steelers only gave up a sixth round pick for Justin Fields. These are very low stakes.
Yes.
Okay.
Low risk, high reward.
Exactly. And they don't have loyalty to either of these guys right now. Tomlin's on the last year of his contract with nothing to lose. This is prove it time for both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And if, let's say, because this is what's being reported, and if they have a good training camp, Russ earns the starting job, which is the way it's trending now, what people think. If he has a string of two games that don't go well, Justin Fields is a young, talented starter waiting to tap on in. I know you have thoughts.
I have thoughts.
Let's
Alex,
go.
I'm going to push back a little bit on this because is Justin Fields a starter?
I mean, he was.
He was, but the league told you he's not one. There was no market for Justin Fields as a starting quarterback from plenty of teams this offseason that need quarterbacks. None of them. Drew Lock got money to come to, like, you. Sam Howell got money to go to Seattle. There are so many other quarterback spots that were filled ahead of Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. And again, I think the Bears kind of played this as, oh, maybe we won't get rid of him, trying to drive the price up. You know, you have the negotiations in the background, and quickly realized there was no market for Justin Fields as a starter. Does that mean that Justin Fields can't become one again? It does not, in fact. And I think that's why Pittsburgh is a wonderful place for him. Mm-hmm. I think that Pittsburgh can be used as a redshirt year. I want to take Mike Tomlin at his word that Russell Wilson is the starter because of the fact, listen, recency bias will tell you that Russell Wilson has fallen off and all the other stuff. And I'm not here to argue that, because it did not go well in Denver for Russell Wilson.
But also, like, not a good match. Both coaches that he had, not a good match. And the moment Sean Payton came in, it wasn't going to
work. It was clear that Sean Payton wanted nothing to do with him.
Nothing to do with him. There was no salvaging that relationship.
No. So I then revert back to what Russell Wilson has shown us his entire career, which 12-year career, 9-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion. He has the second most wins of any player since he entered the league in 2012. Even last year, while he was in a bad situation, Russell Wilson was still top 12 in completion percentage. Mm-hmm. He was top 10 in touchdowns, top 3 in touchdown percentage. This is still a veteran. This is the guy that you hand the keys to your franchise to for right now.
Yeah, to start the season.
Especially because you need someone to come in right away. And he is a guy that Justin Fields can learn from. The benefit of going to Pittsburgh for Justin Fields is to have a redshirt year, which almost no one gets the opportunity to do. I know it's coming a couple years later than, you know, after he came into the league, but he now can figure out who he is as a quarterback at the NFL level without the pressure of having to be the starter.
But okay, let's just put this in perspective here, because once you've been at the top, a starting quarterback, to then get demoted, to take a step back, these guys have egos.
Sure.
This is not going to be an easy task. I'm curious what the relationship is going to be like between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Is it going to be kind of a mentorship situation? Or is it like, hey, man, yeah, you used to be good, but your last couple of years, why would I be listening and why would I want to learn from this guy?
Right. And we're going to see how that goes, because Russell Wilson has not shown up until this point in his career a willingness to be a mentor. And
doesn't give his phone number out to people. We've heard former teammates say they can't even get a hold of him. They have to contact PR to then reach him, to then have him call back PR, to then give them a response.
Justin Fields has enough talent to where I could see Russell Wilson be threatened.
Yes.
And rightfully so.
He was a starting quarterback.
This is where you figure out then who these two players are. And that's why this is good for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because yeah. they have all of these options now.
Yes.
But what you need to see is how these guys respond to the different roles and dynamics and the pressures that are going to be placed on them. Is Russell Wilson going to be inspired and play better because he has someone on his heels?
You would hope so.
Is Justin Fields going to take the next steps, learn how to speed up his game, learn how to get through his progressions a little bit quicker, actually fix his footwork and do all that kind of stuff in order to win the starting job?
You would hope so.
I think this could be a good thing for both of them if Justin Fields has the chance to develop without pressure of being a starter. I have been through a quarterback competition before.
Yeah.
I was in Tampa when it was between Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, vibes.
And in that season, it was back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
The only thing I asked that the Pittsburgh Steelers do as a result of the experience that I saw.
Okay.
If you make a change, stick to it.
Mm.
So if Russ doesn't work out or whatever, you maybe start the season with him, you let him go, and he doesn't quite work out. You don't think, if you make the switch to Justin Fields, keep it there.
Will he have started a game by Thanksgiving? Justin Fields? Yeah.
God, that's a good one.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes. All right, now let's check in with Brian Fenley and see what's trending.
Yes, Carmen and Alex, we've got all NCAA tournament action going on right now. Yes, let's go. We're going to talk a lot about what's happening on the women's side of things. But right now on the men's end, second round, and it's halftime, where Kansas, as a 4 seed, is leading the 5 seeded Gonzaga 44-43. The center for KU, Hunter Dickinson, does have 13 points to his name. Earlier, we saw Arizona come away with a big second half, and they roll 78-68 against a 7 seed in Dayton. So Arizona is the first team to reach the Sweet 16, and they do it on the backs of Pella Larson, his near triple-double, 13.7 rebounds and 6 assists. Caleb Love also contributing 16 points, 13 of those coming in the first half. Now let's get to the women's side, where there is a whole lot of action. It's day 2 of round 1. Kaitlyn Clark has 16.7 rebounds and 9 assists for the 1 seed in Iowa. They are pulling away against the 16 seed Holy Cross 63-41, halfway through the third quarter now. And it was the Iowa second quarter that really got them going. 25-9, they outscored Holy Cross in that second quarter by itself. Other first round games on the women's side, Arizona as an 11 seed is taking it to Syracuse, the 6 seed, 37-32. End of the first quarter, Oklahoma is trailing by 10 to the 12 seed Florida Gulf Coast, 25-15. Some of the finals that already have hit the finish line in overtime. It was Kansas on the women's side as an 8 seed, holding off the 9 seed in Michigan, 81-72, outscoring the Wolverines 14-5 in that extra session. NC State prevails as a 3 seed, Notre Dame as a 2 seed, UConn with a 28.11 rebound, 7 assist performance from Paige Beckers had a 86-64 win as a 3 seed against the 14th seeded Jackson State, a win for Indiana, and 6 seed Tennessee, 92-63 against the 11th seed in Green Bay. And just scheduling note coming up next on the men's side, in about an hour or so, we've got our 3rd of 8 games, second round, and it'll be the 1 seed North Carolina against the 9 seed Michigan State. Carmen Vitale and Alex Curry, I hope that those brackets, I know you guys have been doing well so far, hope they hold up.
Yes,
although
we have.
The Wisconsin,
Kentucky got me.
And Kentucky got me.
Kentucky got me, but I'm still holding strong, tied for 2nd.
Yeah,
still holding strong, tied for 2nd in the Fox Sports Radio bracket.
We'll see how that continues.
I have Illinois as my national champ, so I have no faith in the bracket whatsoever.
It's okay.
That was a total homer pick.
I feel good about it. Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it.
All right, you're listening to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from Tyrac.com studios in Los Angeles, and it is time to bring in our first guest. He is the co-host of Gojo and Golic. Please welcome Mike Golic Jr.
Yeah.
You there?
Love the energy, guys. I'm pumped up now, and I needed a little bit of help.
You know, if March Madness weekend is this incredible show and display from all these great athletes involved on the men's and women's side, but not enough people talk about fans, all of us viewers, laying our bodies on the line for the cause.
Oh, I did. Right, oh, I did. You put in some hard working hours at the office yesterday, Mike. Two meals at my favorite spot. I am so proud. You did March Madness right. I gave Carmen her flowers at the top of the show as well. Like, you guys.
Mike and I were doing research together.
It's a part of the job. Part of the job. And that's one of the perks of this job is that you get to go to the office, and sometimes the office is a beautiful bar with a nice beer and some meals. How's your bracket doing, by the way?
You know what? We're at the most liberating point in the tournament. My bracket is already carnage. And now I can just release to the great play that we're seeing from some of these upset bits on the field. I gave it my best shot. But, guys, I always say my bracket is a lot like my golf game. Yeah. I didn't put enough work into this to expect it to go well. And so I hope and pray. I have a few beverages and some good company along the way. And now I just get to ride this out and enjoy it. I am absolutely in shambles right now.
Who got you? What team got you? Because Kentucky got me. I had Kentucky in my Final Four.
I didn't have Kentucky going quite that far, so I was at least safe there.
Yep.
Overall, my Final Four is still intact at this point.
What?
I've got, yeah.
So then you're not in shambles, okay? That was false advertising, Mike.
You know what?
Okay.
I'm trying to play the humility card.
Yeah,
so I can
stop.
Be relatable
it doesn't.
To everybody that's
it doesn't look good on you, okay?
Hand.
No, we like honesty here. So I need some honesty here. John Calipari has been with Kentucky for a while, but he had another early NCAA tournament exit. Is it time for Kentucky to move on from Calipari?
You know what? I think based on their standard, probably, and based on all the signals mm-hmm. that we're getting right now, the fact that their AD declined to comment and talk publicly after that loss and just the weight of that basketball program, yes, I won't be surprised when we see Kentucky and John Calipari part ways. Everyone's going to point to that buyout number being around $33, $35 million. Ooh. But as we've seen in college athletics, there are plenty of donors willing to write very big checks in order to make sure that their university and a blue blood like Kentucky gets back to the winning ways they've been accustomed to. The difficult part in this, guys, is I don't know what the ready solution is for them because you've been winning the talent game for a long time in Kentucky, and without John Calipari, well, it's Kentucky and it's still always going to be a draw. You can expect it in the portal era to take somewhat of a step back, and then who are you going to find to make sure that you're elevating the on-court coaching portion of this to get you back to the places you expect to be in an era that's changing drastically on the men's side in college basketball?
Yeah, but one win in the tournament since 2019, that's unacceptable for Kentucky.
Completely. Yeah. And we know I did myself the favor after that Kentucky loss, and I sat around and I listened to Kentucky sports radio that night just to listen to the color and kind of take the temperature of Big Blue Nation. And let me tell you, when the phrase "we're on the verge of becoming Indiana" popped up, I felt hurt for my friends in the Hoosier State for the truth of that. And everyone involved, I talked to Indiana fans and Kentucky fans after that, and they're like, "Well, yeah, you'd spot the lie. Like, we can all kind of see and feel this coming." And so, I think that's one of those things. You appreciate what John Calipari did for this program. I think his early run there, every other year, basically a Final Four, lottery picks all over the place, NBA guys up and down this roster. Yeah. But at some point, we always hear about coaches, the voice becoming stale, the message becoming stale, or just the formula no longer working in this era of basketball. And I think all of it is going to lead to a change for Kentucky.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, though, their biggest Drake can undo the curse that he apparently put on this team by writing that check to get the buyout, if that's the way that Kentucky wants to go. But that you just touched on it, though, Mike, which was a conversation that Alex and I had a little bit earlier. What is the answer here? Because it's not just Kentucky that is going to run into this with this one and done format that we see in men's college basketball. There needs to be some sort of reckoning, I feel like, in the game itself. And do you then go revert back to the old rules where if you're ready to go after AAU, which so many of these guys are, send them straight to the league. And then if you do enter college, make sure you're staying in college for 2-3 years at least. Do you think that that would kind of help level the playing field in a lot of ways?
I think so. I think you need some more defining lines in this, because when we look, and I've heard plenty of people comment on it, and I fully agree, that's the biggest difference between the men's and women's game right now. Right. Is the women's game, because while the WNBA has made extraordinary strides and has incredible players there, we know financially it's not yet the winning lottery ticket that its NBA counterpart is. And so you get the best players in women's college basketball staying for 4 years. We get to know these stars, and we've seen this cascade of incredible freshmen coming into that sport that are already household names. You don't get that. It's a little bit more disjointed on the men's side. And for a tournament especially, because let's be real, the success or failure, the way that we grade college basketball is what you do in March. And this tournament rewards veteran play, especially veteran guard play. And when we don't see that much of it, when you see John Calipari coming out saying, yeah, our freshmen, they kind of flinched in this moment. While you can blame a lot of that on coaching, we know that, yeah, the way you build stars in this sport, the way you build recognition in the sport, and the way you have success in this tournament that ultimately defines it is by getting people to stick around for a little bit longer. And so when you don't have programs as able to microwave results, when some of the all-time great coaches in the sport have given way to younger, newer coaches who are having to juggle NIL and the portal and all these different factors that have created a little bit of volatility around the sport, it's created this environment where, yeah, especially the regular season model has struggled a bit. So I think everyone's going to be looking into how do we go about best building and developing these teams in order to get this sport back to the place where it's been for so long, which is the center stage and one of the most popular in the country.
And there has been such a shift, especially this year, with the star power being in the women's game. I mean, while we were doing research yesterday, Mike, you were wearing a Notre Dame women's basketball t-shirt. Everybody at the bar made sure that the women's games that were on some type of TV right alongside the men. In our studio right now, we made sure 50-50. That Caitlin Clark and Iowa basketball was one of the top TVs that we could see in our line of sight. I mean, is the women's game now becoming the blueprint for how college basketball should be?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's part of the factors that we already mentioned, the fact that the best players stay long into it. But I think it's also some other things. I talked with Jay Williams about from ESPN about this. I think the pacing, because you have quarters as opposed to the two halves, lends itself a little bit better. The style of play is a lot more free-flowing. It's a lot more technically sound at this point. And I just think overall, because we've gotten to know and establish, you had women's basketball being platformed more than ever. It's always had talented players on the women's side, but we've seen more games on the big network platforms, more of them showing out in the tournaments in recent years. You've had these incredibly compelling matchups. And I also think, guys, not for nothing, the women's game has been far more giving of personality.
Oh,
we see so long in college sports, on the men's side especially, what do we always say? The coaches are the stars because they're the ones that aren't coming and going as frequently. And on the women's side, we see players that are much more willing to be themselves, much more trash talk on the court, all these back and forth that ignite the passion in us as fans. That is a big part of the appeal of the game. And so I think finding a way to get that personality and get it back out on the floor in the men's game could go a long way in building stars the way the women's side is right now.
But can we just take a moment and just appreciate how incredible this year has been for women's sports because of people like Caitlin Clark in women's basketball? When we were filling out brackets, almost every single coworker, man or woman, that I talked to was like, the only stars I know are Caitlin Clark,
Angel Reese, Flauge.
Like it was all women. It was all women. And it's such a cool moment as, you know, being a woman in sports and just covering a majority of men's sports my whole career to see this switch, because there's definitely a switch happening right now.
No, completely agree. And I think it's been fun because, you know, Going to college and being fortunate to play collegiate athletics the way I was, the one thing that I always thought was the coolest was you got to support your friends who happen to be some of the best athletes on the planet. And I went to Notre Dame. It's a women's basketball school. They're in the Final Four every other year. So many of my close friends were competing on those big stages. And so it's always been a place that's appreciated. But now to see them getting this kind of recognition, the fact that we've got Hannah Hidalgo on campus, who's already a household name at Notre Dame, and for her and for Maddie Westfeld and for Sonia Citron, and the fact that those names that people could rattle off now readily are part of a large group that we've seen all across the sport in a lot of different regions, too, by the way. Like, think about it. Dawn Staley's South Carolina squad, Angel Reese and LSU and everything going on down there as the defending champions in the Southeast. You've got the remnants of the Pac-12 balling out with teams like UCLA and USC led by Juju Watkins. Notre Dame in the Midwest. You've got teams everywhere. I mean, hell, Paige Beckers went off in the first tournament game. She was supposed to be Caitlin Clark before injury kind of derailed what was going on at UConn that's been the traditional power of the sport. And so the rising tide, I mean, you go all the way back. This is a sport that for long swaths of time was dominated by Tennessee when Pat Summitt was there, UConn and Gino Auriemma during my young adult lifetime here. And now we've seen South Carolina, I think, step up recently. But those teams set out a signal and everybody else stepped up and responded to the call. And now you've got a ton of programs that are competitive each and every year spread out everywhere. That again, college sports are a lot like Major League Baseball, where it's best when it's regional. And we still have a lot of that flavor in the women's game because of all this.
Mike, you're such a gem. Thank you for joining us. And I hope you get some really good research in today, too.
Yeah.
Say hi. Absolutely. Going to go crack open a cold can of research here and get it started. Thanks, guys.
Oh, we love it. Thanks, Mike. When we come back, the do's and the don'ts in sports. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from TireRack.com studios in Los Angeles. Thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon with Carmen and me. And you know what time it is. It is time for the do's and the don'ts in sports.
Highlighting the do's.
Ooh, I love that.
And putting a spotlight on the don'ts.
The subject brings me no joy.
Don't do that.
Are you on crack?
It's time for the do's and the don'ts in sports.
All right, I'm going to start with a do, and this is a two-parter.
Okay.
Because I had two, and I was like, okay, do help those in need.
Okay.
The first one, Yale's marching band was unable to make it to Washington for the tournament, so the University of Idaho's band heard about it, learned Yale's fight song, and supported them in their win over Auburn, and even wore Yale apparel.
Oh.
Isn't that cute?
That's so sweet.
That's awesome.
We love it.
We love that.
I don't know if anybody was expecting Yale to actually move on.
No. No.
Go Bulldogs.
But another one. That was another one. Okay, so another help those in need. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson helped a fan whose car had a flat tire on the side of the highway.
Yes.
Pulled over to make sure the driver was okay, then gave him a ride to and from the mechanic, and also gave him some money to help fix the flat.
We love it.
We love it.
Okay, I've got to do. I have do your research. We have a couple segments coming up in the next hour. A couple situations where you need to go beyond the headline or beyond the highlights. Do that research, get that context, because it's going to inform your opinion, I promise you, and it's going to make you a better person.
Okay.
Don't, this is my second one, don't stop being a parent.
Okay.
We just saw it on Twitter. I was scrolling.
Okay.
Don't stop being a parent even when your child is Caitlin Clark.
Love
because
that.
The camera caught her dad, who is in attendance. He's in the stands. Caitlin's yelling at the ref. She's complaining. She's trying to get a call, whatever. Her dad is in the stands yelling at Caitlin to stop complaining.
I love that.
You can just see him go, stop!
I love that.
And if you've ever played sports, which I know you did,
Oh, yeah.
You, like, I had
my
the peanut
dad,
gallery, the parent peanut gallery.
I had to be like, dad, zip it.
Zip it.
Zip it.
I don't want to hear, like, because my voice, ear can hear you.
Oh, only him. There were photos of me running down the sidelines in soccer, and he is, like, running with me, and I'm just... Oh my God. Okay, I'm gonna do a do before we're done here. Do find your passion after you play. Ken Griffey Jr. was at the Dodgers Padres opening day in Seoul, Korea, but not where you would expect. The Hall of Famer was in the camera well taking photos. It's his passion.
Yep, I knew it.
Taking photos, and there's a photo of him.
Randy Johnson did this too.
Yeah, fist bumping Mookie Betts after his home run. Legendary. I've seen him out and about at All-Star Games, World Series. He is just loving it.
We love it.
Loving life. We love it. All right. When we come back, the unicorn is human, you guys. We have thoughts on the Ohtani gambling scandal. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Welcome to Hour 2 of Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry alongside Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from TireRack.com studios in Los Angeles. TireRack.com will help you get there. An unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, and over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
And we've already talked about it, but the Fox Sports Radio Bracket Challenge is live.
Hey!
You see the standings? See Alex tied for second? See myself tied for third now? And get rules at foxsportsradio.com. Two winners get the ultimate college sports trip for two with Graduate Hotels, sponsored by Tractor Supply and Graduate Hotels, where college fans stay.
Let's have a great hour, too.
I can't believe it's already hour two.
I know. He's flyby. That means you're having fun, right? When it goes by super fast. We have former U.S. Women's National Team superstar and pro soccer player and current founder of Bay Football Club, Leslie Osborne, joining us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to keep you updated on all the March Madness scores as they happen. As Carmen just mentioned, no biggie, but we're doing great in the Fox Sports Radio Bracket Challenge. Day one, Carmen was tied for first. I was tied for second. Now day two.
I took a dip because I went with my heart.
It's okay. I am still tied for second. Carmen's tied for third. And right as Ryan Fenley was giving the update, talking about Arizona making it through, I had a nice little vomit sound from Carmen to my left. But that's okay.
I'm wearing a Northwestern shirt, but I also, ASU is my undergrad alma mater. I went to Northwestern for grad school.
Oh, okay.
So ASU is my undergrad school.
That's
and
fair.
I developed a stark, staunch hatred for the Arizona Wildcats and everything they stand for.
Okay, cool. Well, I have them going all the way.
Whoops.
So, no, I think that might be a whoops for you.
Yeah, well, it was because I clearly did not have them making the Sweet 16 because I couldn't bring myself to do it, and this is the price I'm now paying.
Yeah,
but it's okay.
I also have my alma mater, San Diego State, going far. They were in the final last year, so I'm feeling good. I'm wearing my lucky sweater that I wore throughout the entire tournament last year.
When you can go with your heart, but it also makes sense, there's nothing better than that.
Gosh, it's great.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, it's time. We got to dive into the other big news that went down this week, and that is Shohei Ohtani and the gambling theft scandal with his interpreter and best friend, Ipe. But, what a wild start to the baseball season, can we just say? Because last week, we talked about Shohei Ohtani getting married, and we thought that was the biggest story.
Well, they wanted us to think that was the biggest story.
Wednesday, we got the bombshell report that the Dodgers fired Shohei Ohtani's interpreter aimed at allegations of massive theft. Now, the tough part is that we've already gotten a couple different versions of this story, right? But here's what we do know. Ipe, the longtime friend and interpreter for Ohtani, apparently had $4.5 million in gambling debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that was under federal investigation. And these wire transfers that were sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation set off this series of events. So the first part of the story was that Ohtani was paying off Ipe's gambling debts. And Ipe told this to reporters. A day later is when the story changed to Ohtani had no idea about these gambling issues and that Ohtani had been a victim of massive theft. And they were turning the matters over to the authorities. And then yesterday, Major League Baseball put out a statement saying that MLB has been gathering information since we learned about the allegations involving Shohei Ohtani and Ipe from the news media. Earlier today, our Department of Investigations began their formal process investigating the matter. Now, I have a feeling there's going to be a lot more information on this story coming out within the next couple of days, next couple of weeks, next couple of months. This is going to be a PR nightmare, not only for Ohtani, the Dodgers, but for Major League Baseball, because Ohtani is the face of Major League Baseball. Now, I personally know Ohtani and Ipe from my time with the Angels, and this whole situation just puts a huge pit in my stomach.
Sure.
And this is why I don't want to speculate until we have all of the information, because I know these two men.
Right.
And I know they are great people. But this is an extremely messy situation. Okay. And I have some thoughts. And maybe I feel this way because I hosted a sports betting show on this network, Fox Bet Live. Mm-hmm. Or maybe because sports gambling companies are the biggest sponsors in sports right now, paying all of our bills. Mm-hmm. Or that sports betting is legal in nearly 40 states. Or because baseball players are allowed to bet on other sports, just not baseball. But sports gambling is such a doubled standard right now in our industry. And if they did not bet on baseball, I don't have a problem with it. Because you are allowed to bet as a baseball player on other sports as long as it's not baseball. Now, I understand it's a big deal for Major League Baseball, not only because he is the face, but what makes it a big deal is if, again, if they bet on baseball, completely different story. Sure. But that's not the story right now. The big deal is that it's illegal to bet in California, and they were doing it with an illegal bookie.
Right. This is the thing, again, I don't, in the interest of not speculating.
Yes.
Like you said, there's going to be much more information. Uh-huh. None of the fact that there are already three different stories.
That's what hurts my heart.
I'm like, there is something.
The cover up is bigger, worse.
Like
than
the cover up is always worse than the crime.
Yep.
That is why this is going to be such a nightmare for
That's
Major League Baseball, because Major League Baseball cannot afford to have its biggest star, its face, the entire, like, he is the face of baseball in Japan.
That just signed the biggest contract in North American history.
History with one of the biggest sports brand of the four major sports in North America. There is going to be a cooperated effort to minimize and mitigate the damage that this caused, because let's face it, Major League Baseball cannot afford to have its biggest star be suspended for a long period of time.
No.
That's the opposite of what they want to happen.
The number one thing that just, like, I think is going to be the base of everything is, did they bet on baseball?
Right.
And rightfully
so. Yeah, rightfully so.
Right now, it is no, they did not.
Right. Well, of course they're going to say that.
I know. I know. It's just, yeah. Go.
Here's the thing is that we're in for a reckoning when it comes to sports betting and professional sports, because like you alluded to, sports gambling companies are the biggest sponsors of all of these sports. We just had a Super Bowl in Las Vegas, an event that brings in hundreds of NFL players, whether or not they're playing in the game. And the NFL is trying to enforce these rules, saying, okay, these players cannot step foot in a sports book. These players they're trying to dissuade them from gambling or entering casinos at all. I'm like, in Las Vegas?
Where they're in the lobby, everywhere you turn, there's a slot machine, there's a sports book, there's everything.
Meanwhile, the NFL is taking money hand over fist from these companies. They are also taking money from these players who are getting caught up in the convoluted rules and regulations that they have to follow. I know they send out memos. I know they do all of that. But when the team facility language changes, not only are these guys, so they're not allowed to bet in the team facilities, in the stadiums.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yes.
But what happens when you go on the road? Your team hotel is considered a team facility. A team-sponsored event at an outside location is then an extension of the team facility. How are these guys supposed to keep track of all of that? The NFL cannot, or and any of the major sports, they are trying to have their cake and eat it, too, when it comes to sports gambling.
Yeah, they are. That's why it's a different world right now in sports betting. And this is where the double standard comes in that I have an issue with.
Yeah.
Because leagues are partnering with these betting groups. MLB just named FanDuel as an official partner last year. So sports betting pays the bills. They're the major sponsors. They're the partners. We encourage people on all of our shows to go out and bet. We give odds.
We talk about money lines. We talk about,
it's
spreads.
It's a part
and
of the industry now.
Yes.
It is, March Madness right now. It is all betting. Mm-hmm. Like, it. We encourage it. We promote it. We send people to sites to do it. And this is where it's tough. If you tell an athlete, hey, you can do this. You can bet. You just can't bet on your own sport. It gets tough.
It does.
It gets tough. If you're allowed to do something.
Again, this is the.
Certain states, in certain areas, in certain buildings.
This is the line they're trying to toe right now. Because part of me is like, all right, if you can bet on other sports, who's to say, like, all these guys know each other. Sports is such a small world.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to tell them that they've got insider knowledge with their sport, which of course they do, you can't tell me they don't talk to other guys on different teams, know injuries different teams.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Like you talk about, you know, in the South Bay of California.
Yeah.
Lakers, Clippers, Kings players.
Yeah.
All live there.
Rams.
Because their training facility is right there. You don't think all those guys get together, talk to each other, know different things? I mean, guys that went to school together, spread out all over the leagues. I mean, I know plenty of players in the NFL that are friends with guys in the NBA or friends with guys in Major League Baseball or whatever, to the point where they would maybe have insight. So it's like an all or nothing type of thing, but obviously that's not realistic.
They're going to have to figure something out, because we're very much still in the beginning part of sports gambling and betting being legal for most people,
right?
And then making their way different states complicates things. And then making its way into broadcasts, into partnerships with leagues, into partnerships.
Content in general. There is an entire subsect of our industry now.
It is paying for our industry.
You had a betting show.
I did. That's why I said this is like really tough for me. I hosted Fox Bet Live on this network, telling people every day to go out and place bets. What are the best bets? What are the money lines? What are the prop bets? Mm-hmm. So it's such a double standard, especially when you have permission to do it. As long as it's not on your own sport, I don't have an issue with it. But on top of everything, I think the biggest heartbreak of this whole situation is Ipe has been more than just Ohtani's translator since 2018. He was his family here. They were like brothers. They were together every single moment of every single day. I mean, I spent a lot of time with them. They're both great people with good hearts. Good people make mistakes. I don't know. This is going to be a very messy situation.
Very interesting season.
This happened after game one when they weren't even in the States.
I know.
I'm going to opening day next week at Dodger Stadium on Thursday. By the way, my first opening day that I've been to as a fan, I think, since high school.
Love that.
Because I'd been working in baseball like right out of college.
I love that.
I know.
I love that. I was trying to think of like the last NFL game I was at as a fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. It's going to be weird. I'm also like very intrigued to see how this whole situation plays out. There's going to be so much information coming out in the next couple of weeks.
There are.
Let's just hope we're still going to be able to see Ohtani play baseball, because it's a gift that we get to see him.
Oh, Major League Baseball knows it.
On the field. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, how will Caleb Williams do in Chicago? Mm. We have thoughts. Players have thoughts. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry alongside Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from TireRack.com studios in Los Angeles.
And Alex, shortly after the show, our podcast will be going up.
Yes,
if
it
you
will.
Missed any of today's show, be sure to check out the pod. Just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcast. And be sure to also follow, rate, and review the podcast. Again, just search Fox Sports Radio wherever you get your podcast, and you'll see this show posted right after we get off the air because our producers are that good.
Yes, they are. And you guys, again, happy March Madness. We have it on every single TV.
We sure do. Men's
right
and women's.
Here.
Just so much fun.
Looking like Gonzaga's going to take Kansas. They're up 82
Alex,
to 60 right now with a little under 3 minutes left.
Alex, this is what Mike Golic Jr. was talking about with us just earlier last hour of like the freeing moment where your bracket just absolutely goes to hell.
Is this going to actually blow up your bracket?
This will blow up my bracket. Between Wisconsin losing yesterday and Kansas losing, I had Wisconsin playing Kansas in the Final Four.
Ooh, so that whole side
of the bracket's done. Now, the other side of the bracket is like, I'm doing really, really well. I think I've only gotten two wrong since then.
I mean, you were, after like day one, you were tied for first.
I was. But this is the moment in time where if this holds,
I had Kansas losing in this game.
You're going
to
keep.
I'm feeling
ascending.
Good. Maybe I'll move up to like tied for first.
But see,
we'll
now I don't have to worry about
day.
This. Now I don't got to worry about it. I just get to enjoy it as it comes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess what? Hmm. We are officially 5 weeks away from the NFL draft. And we just had this week Caleb Williams Pro Day at USC. Everybody was in town.
Everybody
was in town. Everyone was in the South Bay. All scouts, coaches.
A lot of fun.
We had a good time. We had a great time last week. We'll just put it that way. Now, even though it's like a 99.9% chance he is going to Chicago with the number one overall pick, especially now that they traded Justin Fields to Pittsburgh, every team was in town to watch Caleb. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know you're in with everybody, obviously big with the Bears, but what was the word from scouts and teams that were in town watching Caleb?
There's only so much that to be gleaned from t-shirts and shorts.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Caleb is throwing on a script. He knows who he's throwing to. He knows what throws he's going to make. He has his receivers with him that he's super comfortable with. So coaches and scouts and stuff, they don't really go to these pro days for that. I mean, obviously,
what are they going for?
They're going to kind of get
a feel.
Vibes.
Okay.
Is kind of what.
Okay. So it's kind of like the interview process. Like, right?
It
when
is.
They have, like, at the combine, they have the interview process. It's all trying to, like, mess you up to see, like, okay, how do they hold themselves under
pressure? Here's the other thing, though, that a lot of these scouts will do, and this is true for any pro day, not just Caleb Williams pro day, but any pro day, is you go, not only do you talk to Caleb Williams, you talk to his coaches. You talk to, but beyond that, you don't
that
just talk
out.
To his coaches. You talk to his trainers.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to his tutors.
So you're doing your research.
You talk
you're
to the secretary
to,
of the football
the
floor
the
in the SID office.
Okay.
You are
okay.
talking to everybody and anybody. And then you are also, there were reports that the Bears, Ryan Poles, their general manager, and their head coach, Matt Eberflus, had dinner with Caleb Williams the night before his pro day.
Yeah.
They were also on hand for USC's practice the day before.
Yep.
So these guys were in town for a couple of days. They're really getting, you know, the lay of the land and who Caleb is as a person, not just from the source, but from everybody around him.
Yeah, I like that. We also got to hear from Caleb at his pro day. He was on the herd with Colin, and Colin asked him what was the thing he was most proud of, and this is what he had to say.
The ability to adapt, and whether it's you go into the season, you go into every season, obviously. You know, I think you're going to win it all. But you get a few players this last year, and then you go 7-5. So the ability to adapt to, you know, the adversity. The year before, you know, being able to adapt to, you know, a hamstring. Or, you know, the year before, being able to adapt to, you know, playing a bunch of tough games and, you know, coming out with the win and just obviously, you know, dealing with adversity that year. And then dealing with adversity my freshman year, not starting. Then, you know, Lincoln having to leave, staying, and then coming here. So the ability to adapt to situations, and I think that's been the biggest thing.
And he is going to have to adapt because we are already hearing from some Bears players, Jalen Johnson's comments saying that Caleb has to prove himself because Hollywood doesn't fly in Chicago. You've mentioned this before, that Justin Fields had the locker room in Chicago, right? So what does that mean? Again, this is all like we're assuming Caleb is going with the number one overall pick to Chicago.
Right.
What does that mean for Caleb Williams going into the locker room in Chicago?
Well, first of all, this is why I said my do was do your research. Okay. Because this quote, which we paraphrased, came from Up and Adams, our good friend Kay Adams. Was talking to Jalen Johnson. And you need to listen to the full interview with Jalen Johnson. He's very introspective. And he's very reflective of who Chicago is as a city. This is the city I grew up in.
I know.
It is a blue-collar city of broad shoulders. Work. There's a wonderful quote from Michael Douglas that I love. It used to be like the top of my Facebook, whatever. And it said, Hollywood is hype. New York is talk. Chicago is work. And that is what everybody in the city embodies, including its sports teams.
Okay.
But what Jalen was saying in this whole interview, again, done wonderfully by Kay, was he was talking about wanting to learn who Caleb Williams is beyond all the Hollywood stuff.
Okay.
And knowing that everybody is going to need to humble themselves to come into that building because that's how that team operates. And that when you get on a team with veterans like himself, like Caleb Williams' potential future receivers in Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, these are the guys you have to humble yourself around everybody because it's a team game.
Yeah.
So their job as teammates is to make Caleb Williams better. They're going to figure out who he is. And yeah, they want to figure out what's beyond the Hollywood stuff. Not that he would bring Hollywood to Chicago, but they want to know who he is so they can continue to get the best out of him and make him a better player because that is their job as teammates, which is a very different sentiment than I think that what is being widely reported of him being like, you need to prove yourself.
Yeah.
No.
But that's what the media does. They take nugget and they run with it. They want to spin
the headline. And from everything that Caleb Williams has said in that that clip that we played was from The Hurt.
Yeah.
Caleb also said he wants to go somewhere where people care.
That's it. That was his number one thing.
That was his number one thing.
I just want people to care about football.
And he keeps backing that up with his actions. Going back to his pro day, he talked about wanting to show people that he can throw from inside the pocket. Now, doing that at a pro day, not a real thing.
Yeah.
Because again, you're in t-shirt and shorts. Yeah. You're not. It's not even 7-on-7.
Yeah.
You don't have anybody in front of you. You have nobody rushing you, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, the fact that he wanted to prove that and he wants to quell those concerns, that tells me something. That tells me that he wants to work hard. He wants to earn the trust of these guys. He wants to do all of that and put in the work to be good and deliver those wins to Chicago that they are so desperately in need of.
Yeah, didn't we all see that? The fact that, okay, I know people took this the wrong way, but the fact that he was crying after they were basically out of the race, for the Natty.
And shame on you if you do, honestly.
That means he cares so much. This is his everything. This is his life. Also, like, was anybody making comments when Travis and Jason Kelce were crying? Because they cry all the time, good and bad.
Shame on you if you think that a man is crying to his parents, who are his ultimate source of comfort because he cares that much about letting his teammates down.
Yeah.
I've seen some fans on Twitter. I don't want to hear it. And I don't want to hear anything about his talent. We are so just jumping over how good of a player he is. I mean, even
we should be celebrating people who are different, not shaming them that they are not conforming to what every other football player should be like.
And then on top of that, producing results.
Yeah.
This is a guy that had the last 2 years had only 5 interceptions. And the concern with a guy that plays backyard football and like that hero ball that Caleb Williams can do, it's incredible to watch. It leads to some crazy highlight plays. But the concern of the flip side of that coin is, do you take care of the football? Well, Caleb Williams takes care of the football on top of being able to pull these plays out of nowhere and continue plays and all of that kind of stuff. So when you look at a talent like that, again, Heisman winner 2 years ago, 42 touchdowns, against 5 interceptions in 2022. He only had 30 touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
But USC had an average, their point total was an average of 28 points. They scored an average of 28 points in all of their losses. So you can't quite put that on Caleb Williams. USC's defense was just awful last year.
No.
He has production. He has the want, the desire to work. That's all you can ask for out of a guy. And get excited about this, Chicago.
He wants to win. Okay?
Get excited about this.
He wants to win. Now let's check in with Brian Fenley and see what's trending.
Mark Few wants to win in the form of the NCAA tournament,
well
and he
done.
Does just that, Carmen and Alex. For the ninth straight year, his Zags are into a Sweet 16, that second of eight NCAA tournament second round games just wrapped up. We'll get to that first. 89-68, the five-seed Zags advance after beating the four-seed Kansas, and it was a 46-24 outscoring of the Jayhawks by the Zags in the second half that made all the difference in the end. And two seed in Arizona, their head coach Tommy Lloyd used to be an assistant at Gonzaga. Well, now Lloyd as the head man for Zona, 78-68. His team beats the seven seed in Dayton. So Arizona and Gonzaga are the first two teams into the Sweet 16. As far as what's coming up next, that would be in about 15 minutes or so, the one seed North Carolina squaring off against the ninth seed in Michigan State. Also matchups later on, Washington State versus Iowa State, Oakland and NC State, Texas and Tennessee, Duquesne in Illinois, and at 9:40 Eastern time, the last of the eight games to get underway will feature the 11-seeded Oregon versus a 3-seed in Creighton. On the women's side, Caitlin Clark in Iowa, they persevere at home, 91-65, as the women are in day two of first-round NCAA tournament action. Caitlin Clark, 10 assists, 8 rebounds, 27 points, so they are on to round number two, as is the 2-seed Notre Dame. 81-67 against the 15-seed Kent State. 3-seeded UConn, backed by Paige Beckers, 28 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists, had an 86-64 win against the 14-seed Jackson State. Also wins for NC State as a 3-seed, Indiana as a 4-seed, the 6-seed in Tennessee, and an overtime win for the 9-seed in Michigan, the 8-seed in Kansas over Michigan, the 9-seed, 81-72. Right now, there are four different games going on in this first round of the NCAA tournament on the women's side. Quickly to that, 6-seed Syracuse is leading the 11-seed Arizona 70-66. Ole Miss and Marquette are tied up in the second quarter at 30. Oklahoma by 3 in the third against Florida Gulf Coast. And right here in Los Angeles, where we are, it's the 1-seed USC leading the charge, 33-20 against Texas A&M. Commerce, yeah, 33-20. And as I get it back to you, Alex and Carmen, Juju Watkins, one of the best women's basketball players that we're ever going to see, already 15 points as a freshman.
Dang.
She is phenomenal.
So she has half of their points right now.
She does. She is worth the price of admission. If you go to
that.
A game or watch, you got to watch her play.
We love some Juju.
Thank you, Brian. You're listening to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from the TireRack.com studios in Los Angeles, and it is time to bring in our next guest. She is one of the trailblazers in women's sports, former professional soccer player and U.S. Women's National Team superstar. She's a super mom and most recently co-founder of Bay Football Club. Please give it up for my friend, Leslie Osborne.
Thanks, guys. Oh, my gosh. It's so good to be on. Thank you for having me. And, Alex, I miss you. I'm glad to be reunited
I know.
And talking all women's sports.
Oh, Les, congratulations on everything. Oh, my goodness. Bay FC's first match, first win in franchise history. This has been years in the making with your former U.S. Women's National Team teammates. What is it like to see the years of work finally become a reality?
Oh, my gosh, Alex. I remember telling you about this idea 4 years ago, and it's really hard to put in words what it actually means. And I think every step along the way has been a little milestone, you know, announcing that we had a team, picking out our logo, going to media day, seeing our players. But let me tell you, on Sunday night at Angel City at BMO Stadium, me, Allie Wagner, Danielle Slayton, and Brandi Chastain traveled down with our families to be there in that moment. And I cannot tell you the feeling that I had personally when the players walked out for the national anthem. And when they scored that goal, I literally almost ran onto that field. My heart was out of my chest. It was the first time that I had that same feeling that I had when I was a player. And it literally felt like my team scored. Like, I need to be out there. It was a remarkable day. And I think one of the most special days for my family to be there. and my little girls to witness, you know, these built-in role models that, you know, they're going to be having in front of them for the rest of, you know, their childhood. And that is the best gift I can give them.
I mean, you could see your emotion and excitement, because there are some photos of the girls walking out on the field and you behind just mid-air jumping as it's all coming down, but with your daughters as well. And you mentioned, you know, they've been part of this whole process with you. How important is this for young girls to see women's sports in the spotlight like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's so huge for little girls, little boys, for everybody. You know, when I met Julie Foudy, when I saw her play when I was 13 years old and I met her after the game, everything changed for me. Mm-hmm. It was as if something clicked, like, okay, if I can see them, I can be them. Mm-hmm. And I really think that this will be, you know, an opportunity for the Bay Area to, you know, inspire so many people of, yes, little girls, yes, little boys, like everybody. I was just at lunch, you know, my girls at a soccer game, and seeing people walk in and out of the restaurant with Bay FC gear on, like knowing they're going to watch parties. I mean, we're inspiring everyone. And I think that, you know, this is the best gift that we can give. And these women deserve it. They deserve to have this opportunity to be treated like, you know, men's athletes have been treated. And what we're trying to do at Bay FC is, you know, stand alongside other iconic global men's brands and teams. And that's what we've set out to do. It's been a long 4 years. As you know, when you start something, there's been a lot of crazy twists and turns. But let me tell you, there is nothing more rewarding and the better work that I could do, and Allie and Danielle and Brandy and our amazing investors at Sixth Street Capital, to help bring this happen.
Well, and that's what's so incredibly important about what you guys are doing, because this affects every level then of soccer, because it used to be that, and you know this very well, the women's national team was the pinnacle of the sport, but there wasn't much outside of that for women who made up so much, like a really large percentage of youth leagues. I mean, I think every little kid starts out playing soccer, but it's like there was never any sort of pipeline for young girls to then turn this into a livelihood, turn this into a professional career. And now what you're doing is you're opening up that umbrella, and you're saying to girls, you do have a future in this.
Absolutely.
And what is the trickle-down effect of that?
Yeah, I think 99 was obviously an inflection point, but we're at another inflection point, right, where players and kids have a pathway. And we've tried, you know, twice before, and this is our third iteration of the league. And the foundation that the NWSL has going into its 11th season, having 14 teams, you know, the amount of money that we paid, $53 million to get a team, shows the stability, the longevity, and also the trajectory that women's soccer and women's sports is on. And for my girls especially, like, they think it's normal that they're going to go play professional soccer. Like, that is absolutely attainable, and that's what they think that they can do, because why couldn't they? And like you said, when I was a little girl, like, I didn't know if that was going to happen. It was hard to even watch the U.S. Women's National Team on TV outside of the Olympics or World Cup. Right. So the fact that the NWSL has signed this massive media deal where our games are showed everywhere, every game, you can't miss it.
Finally.
You know, these players have, finally have, you know, monetized their brands where you can follow them on social media and you start to get to know them as a person, as a personality. And there's so many connections now, and the visibility finally that we've been waiting for is happening. And the cool part is we still have a long way to go. And that's the opportunity and potential in women's sports right now.
Now, another big moment is going to be your home opener next weekend. Yeah. What are your expectations? What are your hopes for this team and how far they can go this season?
Yeah, you know, I think being down even at Angel City was, you know, obviously such a, you know, accomplishment, just being there, doing it. You know, our, you know, lead up to this season was 9 months, which is the quickest, you know, a professional team has in terms of getting ready for their season. So I think for us in terms of success, you know, we obviously would love to sell out PayPal Park, which holds about 18,500 people. We want to welcome, you know, an inclusive community and fans from all over the Bay Area, all over California, the country, to come in and experience an amazing brand of football. You can already see the way that we're playing, the feeling that you will have. You know, we're going to make this experience hopefully top class where you want to come in, game in and game out. You know, we're all about building a player-centric club, and our fans and our community are so important and valuable to what we're doing. So all eyes, everything we're working on is towards that home opener. And not only the home opener, I think our goal is to sell out, you know, the stadium the entire season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no, of course, you know, us four competitors who founded this club and the team that we've put together, you know, they're winners and they want to compete for a championship. And I think that's been also a really inspiring part of watching this club get ready and launch off. And tonight they have an opportunity to go 2-0 if they can beat DC on the road. So it's a massive opportunity for them.
Les, I need to get out to a game. I am so...
Yes, you do, Alex.
I need to experience this in person. I am so over the moon for you. Congratulations on everything. The best of luck this season. You are doing such an incredible job for women's sports and the growth and the future. I am so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, and thank you both for, you know, always promoting and talking women's sports too. Okay, I'll see you hopefully both at a Bay FC game.
Yes,
absolutely.
Deal.
Thank you, Leslie.
That's a deal.
All right.
Bye. Love you. Bye. Good luck tonight. All right, we're gonna take one more break here, but when we come back, Carmen and I have our feel good story of the week. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Welcome back to Fox Sports Saturday. I'm Alex Curry here with Carmen Vitale. We are broadcasting live from TireRack.com studios in Los Angeles, guys. Oh, we got a fun new show coming out for you.
I know.
We were just talking about a show that I just finished last night, The Gentleman.
Yeah, I want to.
It's like English mafia.
In the world of Guy Ritchie.
I love every mafia movie, you guys. It's a weird obsession that I have. Mafia and aliens.
Any sort of like espionage.
Yeah,
like
or aliens.
Yeah.
Oh, I love aliens.
That's great.
Well, Netflix and NFL Films is coming out with Receivers docuseries. Now, this is the same team behind Netflix Quarterback, but they're teaming up again for a new deep dive into NFL's receivers. And you guys, these are the flashy, loud, made-for-TV people that you want to see. And you know the lineup?
Yes.
The lineup for this is Devontae Adams on the Vegas Raiders. Now, remember, this happened last year, so we're going to get like the coaching drama behind the scenes. Justin Jefferson on the Vikings. Mm-hmm. So,
my dude.
We're going through the injuries, the hardships. Like, we're going to get that feel-good stories. St. Brown on the Detroit Lions.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That's going to be great because you have another, like, Lions feel-good story, their journey to their first playoff win in 32 years.
Yep.
And then George Kittle and Debo Samuel on the 49ers.
I love how George Kittle's just, like,
going to the Super Bowl,
putting himself in there, like, as a tight end. He's like, whatever. I catch the ball most of the time.
But he does. But he's a personality.
He has the personality. But he's just, like, he's one of those, like, all-around tight ends. He's a really good blocker, too. And so I'm kind of like, all right, this is going to add a little flavor.
Wait, that's actually really funny.
I love Claire, his wife. She's fantastic. They're an incredible couple. They're so entertaining. It's going to be great.
The lineup that they have here, there's so many good storylines. There's so many good personalities.
There is a tweet that circulates every now and again when a receiver says something because it was from Denny Carter, CD Carter 13 on Twitter. And this just, again, keeps making the rounds, but it's like typical quarterback tweet. Love my teammates. God is good. Running back tweet. keep grinding. Tight end tweet, derp. Wide receiver tweet, the enemy speaks kindly and holds a knife. Yeah. Like, these are the guys that are so melodramatic on social media, and I just absolutely adore it.
That's what I'm saying. These are like the flashy, need to be a center of attention, diva, superstar, made for TV content.
With that said, though,
okay,
the show I really want to see. I think Alex already knows where I'm going with this.
I know. You're obsessed. Let's go.
I want linemen. Give me a lineman show.
Give
me because, okay,
why?
Alex, I cannot explain it, but the way that I've always gravitated towards offensive linemen, being in NFL buildings, being around teams, they are so good. Like, their personalities, because they're like the unsung heroes of every team.
Yeah.
They have absolutely no ego. I mean, most of them. You can't speak for everybody. But they have no ego, and they're just there for a good time. They had to actually develop personalities because they weren't just like, they couldn't just rest on their laurels of being a football player, because they're just like massive humans that like to just eat and barbecue and whatever. They are so much fun.
The heart and soul of the team.
They are the heart and soul of teams, and nobody knows them.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because especially offensive line, you're working, it's five guys working as one unit,
I mean,
you only hear their names if they do something wrong.
I think we're getting like a good look at it with a guy like Jason Kelce, who is
look at all the personality he has.
I mean, his life, he's made for media.
Yeah.
Made for media.
The
sexiest man alive.
So, okay, we call them big sexies for a reason, but nobody knows. That's why I want to see a lineman series, because they have the best personalities. No one knows. We just had Mike Golic Jr. on, former offensive lineman for Notre Dame. Like, I forget
how big he is until I saw him last night. We all were watching March Madness together yesterday, and he stood up. I'm like, oh, when I'm below someone's armpit, I'm like, you are a giant human.
Yeah.
You are a giant human.
They need their due. So I'm hoping that this opens up a whole string of series where you get quarterback, you get receiver.
Okay, give me your top three. Like, who would be on your lineman show?
Oh, my God. Okay. I mean, like, it would have been Jason Kelce.
Duh.
But you can't do that.
You can.
Creed Humphrey.
Okay.
Another center for the Kansas City Chiefs. And Trey Smith. Their bond, so funny. I see them at O-Line Masterminds every year, and I absolutely adore them. And then you can get a little bit of a different flavor with Teron Armstead.
Okay.
Teron is so good, and he's got twin girls that are so good at sports, and so he is just dad. He is sports dad, on top of being super flashy, Miami, all that other stuff. They have such range on the offensive line. So those would be some of the guys that I would think about, or any of my guys on the Bucks. You know them, Tristan Wirfs. My dude, Tristan.
Carmen's making her pitch right now, you guys. Making her pitch. Thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon with us. Good luck with your March Madness brackets, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye, guys.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.